Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
Star Trek Podcast.
They all wore their pride like some twisted badge of honor.
And you hated them for it.
Of course I hated them! I hated everything about them! Their superstitions, and their cries for sympathy, their treachery and their lies. Their smug superiority and their stiff-necked obstinacy. Their earrings and their broken, wrinkled noses.
You should have killed them all.
Yes! Yes! That's right, isn't it? I knew it! I've always known it! I should have killed every last one of them. I should have turned their planet into a graveyard the likes of which the galaxy had never seen! I should have killed them all.
And that is why you're not an evil man.
Ba-do-ba-bo. Ba-do-ba-bo.
Ba-do-ba-bo.
Ba-do-ba-bo. Ba-do-ba-bo. Ba-do-ba-bo. A podcast. Do you want a podcast?
Can we start?
Okay. All right. I'll push the button. We're started now.
Dan's ready to go.
I'm ready to go too.
Hello.
Hello. It's got Star Trek.
Welcome.
That's
the abbreviated version. Welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Got it.
For another week with your friends at It's Got Star Trek.
And this week we did watch, and now you're listening to us talk about Star Trek Deep Space Nine, season 6, episode
11.
What's going on here?
Episode 11.
What's happening?
Which was called
Everything Seems to Be a Shade of Gray.
Shades of Gray.
Okay, I was wondering where you're going.
Shades of Gray is what we watched, that DS9 episode.
Yes, Dan is, of course, just playfully messing around.
He is crazy, this guy.
Shades of Gray was an episode during a previous writer's strike. We happen to be undergoing a writer's strike currently, and we support the writers, I think it's fair to say. But in a previous writer's strike, they had to do a clip show on TNG, and so they did Shades of Grey.
Oh, that one,
and you know, and it's funny here because Sisko said Shades of Grey, and usually I take the clip where they say the name of the episode.
Mm. He's saying the name of a different episode.
They said a different episode. They didn't say Waltz in this one. I was trying to find a YouTube clip where someone said Waltz, but I typed in Waltz, and it just kept coming back with, like, people doing the Waltz, so, yeah. Which was to be expected.
And then, so what exactly.
And
what,
also Christoph Waltz.
Yes, Star Trek Deep Space Nine, Season 6, Episode 11, Christoph Waltz.
Everything seems to be a shade of gray.
Yes, Christoph Waltz. he's an export from my mother's homeland.
So I'm told.
Of Austria. Along.
Care to elaborate?
Yes, Sigmund Freud. You've got your Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I see.
Adolf Hitler. You got your Wolfgang Puck. There's a lot of impactful people have come out
totally.
Of
Anton Weber.
Not really.
Austria. Yes, Christoph Waltz. All right.
Enough!
All right. Okay. All right.
Falco.
Message received.
Falco was from Austria.
Was he?
Edie Falco?
I know he's
buried in Austria.
Edie Falco?
No, Falco. The guy who sang Rock Me Amadeus and then crashed his car in Jamaica, wasn't it? Didn't he crash his car in Jamaica? You hear about this?
Crash his car in Jamaica.
Heard about this?
True.
Crash me in Jamaica.
Y'all heard about how Falco crashed his car in Jamaica?
I knew he'd heard died about this? Somehow.
True.
All right, yes. Tomfoolery aside, we've done the requisite amount of tomfoolery. We will be discussing Deep Space Nine's Waltz. Super classic episode, super excellent episode.
The Honshu was a cool looking ship.
Super cool ship.
It's a shame it got destroyed.
The Honshu.
As always, spoilers, but Dan pointed out that this is kind of an extra spoiler episode. A lot of late Deep Space Nine episodes, yeah. it's hard to get the ones that don't casually drop huge chunks of information or rely on information that came beforehand. So
people have probably seen it if they're listening.
I think it's a difficult one to watch out of order, as opposed to, say, Duet from season two, which is a more standalone thing, partly because it's earlier. But yes, we will be.
So I'm told.
We'll get to that one probably.
So I'm told.
So wait, do we want to talk about like what led up to his daughter die? Like, how did his daughter die? I mean, we don't need to talk about it. I can't remember. I can't remember how his daughter died. That's what I was really getting at.
So we don't need to go into all the particulars, but
I do want to know. I can't remember because I can't remember why his daughter died.
I'd have to say I'm in the same. Yeah,
Was it Damar who ended up killing her?
Damar.
I forget exactly. It was when they were like escaping the station or whatever. I forget the particular details, but
particularly details. He forgot the particularly details. I like my favorite kind of details are called it's like the X-Files. It's the particularly details.
See, you're being somewhat disingenuous because I happen to know that is not your favorite.
He knows what you
like. It could be.
I've known you a good long time, Dan.
I could make it my favorite.
I'm sure you could. The basic background that folks need to have coming into this episode, in the event that you don't remember the specifics or are just a fool in love with Star Trek, and you're a fool in love with the It's Got Star Trek podcast, and you just insist, you're just, I'm not even going to watch the episode.
I just want to hear what these fellas have to say about it.
But
I don't need to see it because they just talk about it so well.
Yes, that's what we're famous for.
coherent,
cogent, and importantly, in order, breakdowns of the episode is what we are famous for. Nah, I'm being facetious, of course, audience.
Let's change the subject. Deep Space Nine.
there it is. Okay.
You should have like a red alarm.
Red alarm.
The context leading into this episode is that for a time, Dukat and everybody, you know, they had the upper hand. They took over Deep Space Nine, etc.
They were bad news.
Big battles and stuff went down, and Deep Space Nine was retaken. Along with that plot line, it was discovered that Gul Dukat had a half Bajoran, half Cardassian daughter named Zial, who conveniently was played by 8 or 9 different actresses. That's a mild exaggeration, but almost every single appearance of Zial,
even more than Alexander. Alexander was like 2, right? Or
no,
3? It was 3.
Four.
Alexander was
4?
A few because
he
of
had like
the,
4.
But
maybe.
There was an excuse with Alexander, with Worf's son Alexander, ages. Because of the different ages. Whereas Zial was the same character, you know, a few episodes later was being played by a completely different person just because of.
Care to elaborate?
I believe it was availability issues.
Not really.
Zial's daughter, or not Zial's daughter. Gul Dukat's daughter, Zial.
Played by Mark Alaimo.
Gul Dukat was played by Alaimo.
Mark Alaimo.
Zial was not played by Mark Alaimo. All the people who played Zial, Mark Alaimo
Jesse, you want to say Mark Alaimo?
Mark Alaimo.
Mark Alaimo. Mark Alaimo.
I think Mark Alaimo is the kind of fellow who probably wouldn't be keen on hearing you guys say his name like that.
Well, I bet he doesn't listen.
I'm distancing myself from the Mark Alaimo game.
I was watching some documentary.
That guy would beat our ass.
I was watching.
I think so. I think he's pretty tough. I think he would look at you and he would just sort of vomit cigarettes.
He's like 80 years old.
Just vomit cigarettes on you.
I was watching some kind of Star Trek documentary, and there's some part with Nana Visitor. She was being interviewed, and then I think Mark Alaimo was being interviewed too, among other people.
But he comes off a little creepy.
But
right?
she even made like a comment. I can't remember what it was, and it was kind of like a comment. She almost didn't mean to say it like that, but she made this comment that made it sound like she thought he was kind of a creep or something,
or that he was a little too into
the
role.
Occupation.
Maybe a little too into the role, of
right? I don't know, or maybe she just had like a special fun relationship with him or something like that.
That's also possible.
I don't know.
Acting
Mark.
I know nothing about Mark Alaimo. I'm not trying to defame his name.
Mark Alaimo.
Marka Lyman. You said you were going to distance yourself, Patrick, but you lied.
I did, but I'm doing this in a meta fashion, so he can't get mad at me. Marka Lyman. And plus, it is fun. It is so fucking fun. Marka Lyman.
It is fun. Marka Lyman. Marka Lyman. Marka Lyman. Marka Lyman. Marka Lyman. Marka Lyman. Gonna die, yo, with Marka Lyman. Gonna die with Marka Lyman. No.
That's really ominous, dude.
But getting back to the Zial of it all, Gul Dukat.
The Zial of it all.
Yes, the Zial of it all.
All Zial. All Zial need to get it back here. That's in Virginia. We refer to you all. You all, but when we're really referring to all you all, we say all Zial.
All Zial.
All Zial.
Yes, that's exactly what we Virginians say.
We Virginians. That's what we do. That's we what Virginians, makes us special.
On a daily basis.
That
on
and peanuts.
On a daily basis, what we do is we say all Zial.
All Zial.
Yeah.
And we have peanuts and ham and tobacco, but not so much tobacco anymore.
Yeah, but the ham is now Chinese-owned ham.
It's nothing that's the same anymore.
And the tobacco is becoming an anti-tobacco company according to their commercials and the name they changed to sound all fancy. Anyway, speaking of cigarettes, that gets us back to Marka Lyman.
Marka Lyman.
Marka Lyman.
Marka Lyman. It's Marka Lyman. It's Marka Lyman. Marka Lyman. Marka Lyman. He's gonna die, yo. Marka Lyman. Marka Lyman's gonna die, yo. No.
That's some fucked up business.
No, he's not gonna die. I don't want anyone showing my door being like, dude, you know.
I can't recall
you don't want Marka Lyman showing up at your door.
How about this? Marka Lyman. I'm going to die, yo. Because Marka Lyman,
you're trying to pass the curse. Off
this is not a musical.
I'm trying to backpedal here.
Do you think I can't recall you ever before predicting someone's death while in an artistic fugue. Have you done that before on the podcast? I mean, in real life, sure.
No.
But
I don't know if on the
podcast you've ever done.
It's
that
my version of talking tongues, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suppose that's one way to.
You're channeling. Put it,
except you're singing sort of jingles.
Well, there's a weird thing about music. Like, have you ever had a tune pop in your head?
Sorry, you should be doing YouTube videos. Had a tune pop into your head?
I'm pointing at my head, too.
He's pointing at his head, and he's wondering, he's posing the rhetorical question. Okay. I presume it's rhetorical.
Danny Elfman.
You ever have a tune pop into your head?
Danny Elfman, when he was composing the soundtrack to Batman, 1989's Batman, mm-hmm. he said he was in a plane, and he was getting the tune in his head, and he had to keep ducking out to the bathroom to record like little bits of what was coming into his head right then.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he would forget it. And it's true. When something that comes into your head, like a tune, it's almost like it's there as if, like a dream. It like leaves you. It occupies that same space. And when you usually feel
like you have to write it down.
And when you think about, often you'll hear people who speak other languages, and let's say they sung something in English, like they sung with an audience for Americans, right? It's easy. It seems like it's easier for people to sing with an accent than speak with an accent.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
I'm not sure I see what you're saying.
No, haven't you ever heard like the cranberries? And sometimes they're Irish accents.
The cranberries.
Sometimes the Irish accent pops out, but other times it doesn't. Yeah. And I'm not saying it's focused around American English. I'm just saying when you sing in a style of something, it's easier to sort of like emulate that accent because you're not really trying to speak in that accent. Yes. You're trying
singing
to make,
is different than speaking.
Yeah, because you're trying to formulate those notes and those sounds. Okay. It's part of the brain.
Singing is actually very different than speaking.
Excellent, excellent points for a separate conversation. that is not about Star Trek. D3
well, you
nine.
Asked
You're
me
very
about
interesting fellows.
So. You asked me about my fugue state singing, and so it got me going. Thank you, Jesse. I think you're interesting too.
Bringing up some interesting points.
All right,
thank you, Jesse.
Mark, all we're trying to do is finish the context portion of the discussion.
I see,
which is to say that Gul Dukat's heretofore secret daughter Zial, who he tried to reconnect with, separated from again. She grew friendly with Kira and other members of the Deep Space Nine crew, and then died tragically somewhere along the line.
Bummer.
And this set in motion this series of events that lead to this episode, including the capture of Gul Dukat, who had a mental breakdown, basically.
Yeah, man.
which he alludes to in this.
I think he's still episode. A little bit loony.
Well, yes,
a little bit.
Yes, we.
He's
do,
got. There's somebody's laughing at him.
We do get to that point, but
well.
Now that we've provided the context.
Well, at the
you
at
have
the,
additional context, Dan.
Well, at the beginning, you know.
It's what we called him in high school, by the way. We always called him Additional Context Dan. Apparently, he had a different nickname in college, but we won't get into that here.
At the beginning of the episode, DS9 was saying, Sisko was saying, he was talking about.
He's the embodiment of Deep Space Nine.
Yeah,
he's the captain, so he is Deep Space Nine.
Sisko was talking about how. Dukat like lost his daughter and he lost his mind, and it's this line when he's saying that it was such like the week before I played a line that was like pretty I thought was pretty Kirk like just the delivery and this was totally a Sisko delivery I thought
that he nearly lost his mind
or actually no not a it was like yeah it was like that breath that little yeah. breath mm-hmm. that yeah. breath that breath that breath the breath at the end
are you talking New Zealand style
the breath that? At the end
the but breath at the end
he did a lot of this
that he nearly lost his mind.
That yeah. he did a lot of, he did a lot of that kind of that kind of deal.
Yes, it's real. It's a fake.
it's real. Real.
It's a fake.
Here's another one. Wait.
No. Let me get this straight.
Yeah. Did a lot of that Sisko crazy breathing.
He does that when he's in tense mode.
Yeah.
When he's in injured mode or otherwise incapacitated mode. But I think it's an example and a good observation of. What I mean, honestly, it's not like we're this doesn't happen all the time on Deep Space Nine. The acting is just great, and this whole episode.
This episode is chilling.
It's heavy, man.
I have a minor critique of this episode, but I'll save it for the end because it comes at the end. But it's such a wonderful episode because it's Sisko and Dukat, these two excellent characters, just basically talking to each other like in a play.
So this would be a bottle episode. Mm-hmm.
It is kind of a bottle episode, but on Deep Space Nine, they didn't feel as much like that because, so first of all, this was directed by René Auberjonois, written by Ronald Moore. And I'm positive, you know, given the theatrical background of so many of the people who are in this episode, pretty much everybody, you can see how they're like, we're just pointing a camera at a play and we're just doing slightly, you know, getting some close-ups
like
here and there.
And it's like the chorus, the people that he's hallucinating. It's like a chorus it of is people like,
it's
that
a Greek
keeps
chorus.
Fading in and out. Yeah.
Serving as his different aspects of his conscious and all that. I mean, it's a complicated, sophisticated, interesting thing.
Yeah.
And it's the kind of thing we don't get. It is a drawback as much as I love the new Star Trek and we haven't been getting this type of stuff where you can have this episode just sort of fit in there with having the characters just talk to each other for a bit and get all super intense.
These delusions that he has of Weyoun and Damar, they're good at showing like how he is delusional through like most of this episode. And it's good at showing that, but it's also, I mean, it's kind of like a device, right? To in a book, you'd probably just write their thoughts.
It's a literary device.
Yeah, you'd write their thoughts in a book, but they can't really. You don't want to just a narrator. Sometimes narration works, but sometimes it's you want to do something different, and like just a narration of his inner thoughts at that point would have not been effective.
Well, and it is a combination of what Jesse was saying, the Greek chorus, you know, in your old fashioned Aristophanes.
Euripides feet off.
Okay, the joke is Euripides nuts off.
Oh shit!
D's nuts.
Oh man!
It's the sophisticated D's nuts.
Oh man!
Anyway, you got your Greek chorus.
No!
I knew we were going to get a lot of clips out of this episode. I had that prediction.
It's kind of stressing me out. Like the kind of notes I took were chaotic, and because I just had all these lists of different modes of Dukat, like
different. Because that's what I mean. Well, that's one thing I wanted to emphasize here is you've got the Greek chorus thing, but in this case, they kind of do that little twist on it that the Greek chorus in Dukat's mind, yes, it's a literary device that's helping us get at some of his internal thoughts. Yes, it's meant to illustrate this sort of mental breakdown that he's had and he's continuing to have. But the fact that they pick these three characters that we know so well that have these relationships with Dukat, and that the actors are good enough not to play those characters, but to play Dukat's version of those characters, Dukat's impression of those characters. That is amazing. I mean, that's just fucking brilliant. And it's so fun to watch them do this. And it looks like it was a lot of fun doing it too.
Yeah. I think at one point, so there was a lot of him in conflict with himself. Like, he'd say one thing and then his delusion would say something in the opposite, but they were both done in a way that supports his ego. It was completely narcissistic because he was having an argument with himself, but in both cases he was the better man. Like when he was talking about, like, well, Cisco secretly likes me, you know, is all this stuff, is Cisco likes me, you know, and like, so that's his ego saying Cisco likes me, even though he obviously doesn't. But then I think it was DeMar, it was either DeMar or Wayne, one of those two,
because he really wants Cisco to like him.
They were saying, like, no, you don't keep Cisco alive because you think he likes him. You need to turn him in for the glory of you and Cardassia.
They're like, kill him and bring his dead body.
Right, so...
And display it to the Bajorans.
So on one side, Dukat is all like, Cisco likes me. On the other side, it's saying, no, it's you're a great and powerful man that is loved by all of Cardassia. Yeah. Both are opposing arguments, but both support his, like, ego. And then there was a conflict with him and Cisco because he kept, like, saying that Cisco likes him, right?
Yeah. Well, he kept referring to him as old friend.
Right.
And at first, Cisco didn't say anything, and then eventually he was like, just got aggravated to the point, he's like, we're not fucking friends, dude.
Yeah.
It is a weird psycho thing to say.
He wasn't expecting Cisco to visit him, maybe, like when he was in prison. Maybe that really had an effect on him.
Yeah. I think it fed into that, the pre-existing sort of narcissism.
Yeah.
Going on in
there. So right, he thought Cisco secretly liked him, but then when Cisco started saying, I do think what you did was good, he was like, no, you're not telling the truth. And so on the one hand, you could say Dukat was smart because he could tell Cisco was tricking him, but on the other hand, it's almost as if Cisco told him he liked him, Dukat would say, I don't believe you. But then when Cisco turns around and says, you're a fucked up piece of shit, he's like, that's what you think, but you're wrong.
Yes. So he's like, you don't actually think that.
Yeah, so there's no answer that he can give that's going to satisfy Dukat in this situation. Because he just thinks everyone's against him. Also, there was a line Kira gave, too, if I can... I can't even remember where it is. she was saying something to the effect of... Markalaimo. Markalaimo.
I'm sure she was.
Markalaimo. Wasn't it something about, like, it didn't matter what you were gonna... didn't
matter. Because we wanted to hate you anyway.
Yeah.
He was framing her character as... similar to what you were saying about Cisco and Wayoon and DeMar. With Kira, yes, she was an antagonist in his mind, but she was an antagonist whose whole identity was defined in opposition to Dukat, and Dukat got narcissistic pleasure out of that. That's what I took from most of those interactions. He was frustrated with her, but he liked the fact that she was like, we had no choice. You were so powerful that we had to bomb people. We had to kill soldiers because of how powerful you were.
And when Dukat was talking about how he was trying to help him and stuff, you know, and he had Kira next to him, she said, we didn't want a reconciliation. We wanted to destroy you, you know?
And she said it all theater style, where she, like, her voice all... I remember that from the first time I saw this on TV when it aired in syndication. So I don't know if it was the first time it aired on television, but when it aired on the East Coast in the Mid-Atlantic.
Aired on the side of caution. So when Kira...
That's
a bad pun.
Well, the structure is flawed.
Yeah, it's kind of... Yeah, it's not related well enough.
It works, but the foundation is problematic.
I can go with that. So Dukat was saying he was trying to be nice to him, and she was like, we didn't want a reconciliation. We wanted to destroy you. Now, you could look at that two ways, because on the one way, it's Dukat saying, like, I shouldn't have helped these assholes, these dirty Bajorans. I shouldn't have helped them because they just use it as a means to take advantage of me, those fucked up assholes. And that's what Kira was saying in his mind.
Yeah.
But the truth is she probably also actually believed that. Like, the real Kira probably was also like, I don't want a reconciliation. I want to destroy you.
Yeah.
Whereas Dukat saw Kira as being ungrateful. She's like, no, fuck you.
You're a fascist
depressor. You're a fascist asshole. Yeah. And just because you dole down think of yourself as some superior being, like, we shouldn't be grateful for that. So she was telling the truth, and he was hearing what she was saying, but there was just two totally opposite interpretations, which was sort of another way his narcissism, which is like a buzzword in the past 5 years. Narcissism is a huge buzzword, but sadly. Right. But anyway,
this has been an episode of With Good Reason, with your host, Patrick, Dan, and Jesse.
And anyways, he was just trying to take, he could hear.
Fully justified. And I'm not talking about Microsoft Word.
It shows that he can listen to what someone says and interpret it only in the way that benefits him. Do you have an opinion of Clippy from Microsoft's office?
Oh, I was very impressed with how you were able to barrel through my distraction. But then you did something even better, which is you went back to it after finishing your point and brought up Clippy,
right,
which tangentially does have relationship to Star Trek from Lower Decks. Badgie, which is a monstrous AI version of, yeah, of Clippy.
It's like I had two processes processing two thoughts.
Are you
thoughts.
From Canada now, Dan?
It's had
processes.
Two
processes.
Are you calling us from Toronto?
It's like I had two processes operating in my head, thinking about two different things, and on my subconscious level, I was thinking about badgers.
Are you working on any?
Or not badgers.
Are you
I was
working
about,
on any projects?
Wait. I'm trying to finish my thought. It's like I had two processes working on two thoughts at the simultaneous.
Are you trying to say that you've got two tickets to the CN Tower?
Let me just.
To the observation deck of the CN Tower?
Let me just.
Overlooking Lake Ontario?
No, I'm just going to keep saying this sentence from the beginning until I get to complete it. It's like I had two processes right. happening simultaneously.
Are you going to give us a clue as to when the sentence is concluded?
You know, the sentence would have been done shortly after you interrupted me. And this is like a common theme.
I believe what you're
this
saying.
This is a common
theme.
In this episode. Okay. How many times have I fucking said this?
I believe that you believe that.
No, it is. It is.
I believe that you believe.
Don't fucking give me that nonsense. Just shut up for a minute and I'll show you how quick it is. It's like I have two processes occurring in my brain simultaneously, thinking of two thoughts, while in my subconscious, I was thinking about Badgie from Lower Decks and didn't even realize it. So a total of three processes.
Whoa.
There, I'm done. See how quick that was?
Yes, but from this vantage point over here where I'm sitting, it sounds like you mentioned Clippy, and that made me mention Badgie, and that what you've just, this whole business just you just went through is you're now claiming credit for thinking of Badgie.
Yeah, because that's what you were saying.
You could turn Clippy into like a wizard guy, right? Instead of Clippy, it was like a wizard.
There was for a little while.
Yeah.
And then, and this is really going to blow some people's minds because I bet a lot of motherfuckers
you weren't interrupting me because you thought, because I stole your idea, which I didn't. You said that about me, about my subconscious. But... You interrupted me because you were like bored or distracted or something.
No, I was going to bring up. Does anybody else remember?
See, he's not even going to address what I said. It's fine. Let's move on.
Does anybody else remember Microsoft Bob?
Let's change the subject.
Yeah, you know Microsoft Bob. Do you remember that, Dan? Do you remember that Microsoft Bob business? I don't know if you know that, Jesse. It might have been in.
I remember Microsoft
in nerdly circles. There was a Microsoft Steve. Bob for a while. Anyway, you young kids out there, look it up. Look it up. www.microsoftbobhistory.com/archive/php.com. What the fuck is that? What is that?
It's Ducat spitting.
Oh, it is. Now I know.
When he was eating the soup. When he was having that soup.
Yeah. Yeah, the soup, there's a lot of soup business in this episode.
Yeah.
I like a tense soup conversation.
How come, like, out of the ration pack, they get soup? Like, what?
I wasn't clear on whether Ducat had, like, gone out and gotten some plants or something and, like, mixed it in with something in the ration pack.
And there's all these amenities. Like, there's, like, some salt packets and shit.
I know it's an old gag, but I think when it's well written and well performed, the whole gag of having, like, a super intense conversation.
Super intense.
Oh, my God, you're right. God damn it. But having a soup or intense conversation.
Soup or salad.
But having it interspersed with the whole, like, do you have any salt? Do you have any pepper? You know, that sort
pepper.
Of thing. Yes, pepper.
Pepper.
So he's like, that's too much.
Pepper.
Are you going to put that in my soup?
Yes. See, the thing is you play that audio in isolation and apologies, it conjures an image of Gul Dukat just sort of flopping his penis out, just flopping it in the soup, you know. So the soup splashes a little and Sisko all has to like roll his eyes at Dukat and be like, Dukat, you know.
Do it!
And the Cardassians have the lizard penises, presumably.
Do it!
Well, they're kind of reptile-y.
It doesn't even sound like Sisko.
Do it!
Do you have another clip? Is there a joke? Is there another clip that's going to be added into that to make a joke?
I didn't even think of that until now.
But now you thought of it. You know, are you picking up what I'm putting down over there, Dan? I'm casting some psychic waves your way, and now I'm vamping to provide you with some small amount of time to conclude this increasingly stale.
Oscar, if fuck you would ever go out with somebody from class.
No! Just do it!
I'm glad. Glad you were able to find such a horrendous quality.
I know, it's really, it's all I could get on short notice.
It's like what happened.
Do it.
Shit. That was the theme song to this movie Prospect with Pedro Pascal that was actually really good.
All right. Okay. I think it's time to take a quick break.
What were you? You were going to say something, and then I interrupted you with the.
It was probably not important. It was probably about Billy Madison. I know what it was, because that sound clip you played sounded like They Might Be Giants recorded Billy Madison onto a wax cylinder, and then somebody else took that wax cylinder and played it back at full volume on a wax cylinder graph. And then recorded it on an old Nokia phone.
Onto
somebody's voicemail message.
This is the kind of thing, like, when I keep playing the sound where people, like, give us one star.
I was enjoying the podcast up until the point where they started playing a bunch of fucking nonsense, and it was loud and hurt my ears.
Keep going to the next YouTube video. That's why I kept playing that next song.
Dude, you gotta get your settings. You gotta get your settings dialed in on that YouTube with the no autoplay and shit.
I know.
And then, for some reason, YouTube keeps wanting to show me captions. I turn the captions fucking off. I don't want the captions all the time. Sometimes I do, but when I do, I'll turn them on. It's always trying to turn them back on. Anyway.
YouTube captions.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back, and then we'll continue.
Then you can watch it without the sound.
I watched it.
We will. Yes, okay, Pulp Fiction.
There will be time enough for all of that later.
Yes, okay, Pulp Fiction.
we'll be right back. All right. We are returning from the break.
I'm afraid so.
We are going to re-engage. Jesse's already out the door. We're going to re-engage with this with our conversation about Christoph Waltz, Star Trek Deep Space Nine, Season 6, Episode 11.
Goldilocks.
Jesse's switched on hype man mode. He's just shouting out shit.
Hey, can you?
Dan Glamitz.
Y'all do God.
What?
Waltz.
Do you remember what this
Captain Sisko?
Do you remember what this is part of?
Odo.
Odo and all the others or something.
Odo. Kira.
Oh, he's
yeah,
it's
I remember.
Funny he
got
was
it.
Just asking
Odo,
about
what about this one? What about
Hida Odo?
What were you saying, Jesse?
Oh, no.
Well, it's funny how he's just like, how are all those peeps doing Deep Space Nine? You know,
yeah,
all
my
the
old
peeps.
Pals. Yeah,
you
right.
know, like,
what are you
Quark
talking about,
and
man?
Odo.
Quark.
Yeah, Odo or Quark. Like, what do you, experiences do you have with Quark?
How's Quark doing? I really want to know.
Yeah. Do you remember this part?
Piece of meth.
Was it referring to the tine on the fork?
Yes.
Why would you want a small, thin piece of metal?
He doesn't say metal, though. He just goes, meh. He realized what was going on.
Oh, Cisco's been up to some business. Oh, did you have any more fun time play toys?
Well, the other one I had was one we already mentioned.
The Honshu.
We already know what that is.
Oh, the Honshu.
Yeah.
Yes. The Honshu was, I agree with you, Jesse, the Honshu was a great ship. I forget which class of ship that is. In my mind, I want to say like Odyssey class, but that's not right.
It was like a galaxy-style saucer with just a little bit of nacelles.
Yeah, it's kind of like almost taking like a Reliant style and squishing it with the galaxy, but doing it modern style. Yeah, fun.
Almost like the Cerritos.
Yeah, or like an AWAC. It looks like a Federation AWAC, which I don't know. I don't recall what it stands for. I'm sure many of our listeners could write
somebody
in.
Somebody will set us straight on
to
that
to feedback at itsgotstartrek.com.
Evidence!
And tell us what AWAC stands for. Okay. Next up in the conversation, where were we at? We talked about the ship was pretty. The beginning scene we touched on just briefly. What did you think about the fact that Sisko was seeing Ducat, because we get some of Sisko's sort of internal dialogue, his thinking, and what he says to Ducat. It's kind of interesting because it's a little bit sympathy. It's also a little bit conquering hero kind of thing, you know.
Yeah,
kinda
right.
It's like he's like, I'm going to be sympathetic to this guy. I think it's sort of like a classic Deep Space Nine twist on the Federation thing, where it's like, I'm going to be nice to you because you're in jail.
He's in a cage.
But
yeah.
Once the situation's reversed, he's like, "Fuck you, man."
Yeah.
And I'm not in disagreement with him. I just think it's a very human response. To be like, I'm going to be magnanimously sympathetic towards you because you're in jail and a bunch of fucked up shit happened to you.
I mean, right. He knows that some shit happened, but he also, I mean, it's also just like he wants to see this guy like in jail and to see what's going on with this guy. And, you know, like,
in terms of the conversation,
like, we finally got this guy.
Yeah. In terms of the conversation that Ducat wants to have with Sisko, he can't have that conversation in the initial context of the show. There was never going to be a way for him to goad Sisko enough in the context of Ducat being in the brig and Sisko being outside of the force field, having some conversation, because Sisko was in full on, whatever, dude, it's all good. You know, you're in jail, so whatever. I'm not going to make a big deal about any of this shit now. But as soon as Ducat's out of jail effectively, then Sisko's ready to be like, fuck you, dude. You're a piece of shit.
Do you think the Cardassians attacking the Honshu, they meant to blow it up, or do you think they were trying to free Ducat? It seems like that.
I don't think they knew Ducat was on.
Yeah, do you think they'd even care that much? Is Ducat really was he taking that seriously?
He was up until a point, right. I think this is the stage where he's already kind of fallen out of favor, but
right.
At least from the context of this episode, and I can't recall if there was any additional information on the surrounding episodes, but you know, just taking at face value the context of this episode, I think we're meant to understand that these Cardassians were simply attacking a Federation ship in the course of the war. They had no knowledge that Sisko or Ducat or any of those people were on it. They're just like, it's a Federation ship, we're attacking them. And part of the evidence to support that in the text is Ducat saying, somewhat ironic that we're attacked by Cardassians, with at least he has the assumption that they don't know he's there. They might not have captured him and taken him as their leader, but I think they would have taken him and rescued him and killed everybody else.
Yeah. He sort of kept doubling down on this whole everyone likes me thing. He was really kept going like, Sisko likes me. And he believes that, you know, all of Cardassia loves him, and then they'll praise him by bringing Sisko in and all this stuff.
He believes that Kira is who she is because of him. Right. And he's not wrong, but he thinks that's a good thing. He thinks oh, you're such a strong person because of me, because I was a fascist evil nightmare to you.
Well, and it's hard to say that if he's doubling down so much because, like, maybe he actually does know that he's like delusional. Maybe he doesn't, like, secretly he might know that, like, you know, everyone thinks he's a piece of shit. He's just really insecure. Like, it's hard to say sometimes when someone is so, like, brazenly arrogant and self-confident. Sometimes I wonder, it's like, are you really so, like, obliviously confident? Like, or are you just really insecure and this is your reaction?
It's a defense mechanism. Yeah. Is that the idea?
And so, it's like a defense mechanism. So it's either, I think either one is possible in any given day, any given Monday, Sunday.
Calvin Klein always said, if you put your mind to it, anything, you can accomplish anything.
Anyways.
Something along those lines.
So
I'm mildly paraphrasing.
Point being is next time you see someone that's super arrogant, you can wonder, are they actually this obliviously arrogant or are they super insecure?
And they're falling apart. It's a little exercise, audience, a little exercise.
You can do that.
You can go out and do that.
Mm-hmm.
You can consider. You can sit and just stare at somebody. Mm-hmm. Just find some obnoxious person to just stare at them for a while and consider shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With regard to Ducat, to answer your question, it's interesting because they always make a point to note and to demonstrate that Ducat is not dumb. He's not ignorant. He's relatively competent.
This is why he knew when Sisko was like lying to him. Yet, and
he's not a chump who stumbled into power. He gathered power through guile and taking advantage and identifying opportunities to do that.
He was definitely not delusional. He was telling the truth when he was saying how they call them the Empire. Is that what do they call the Cardassian fucking
Dominion?
Well,
they're a part of
the Dominion. I'm trying to figure out.
I guess they got a Cardassian Empire.
I think they're Empire.
Empire style. When he said that they didn't care how they won like defeated the Bajorans, like they
just talked about Central Command.
That's what it was. Central Command, yeah. Wasn't it? He was saying they don't give a shit how, you know, we control the Bajorans, just as long as it happens. He wasn't delusional about that. So his method was questionable, but all they care about is the ends.
But you're also taking at face value and justifiably, but you're taking at face value his argument. Well, what I'm I'm quite the opposite. What I'm trying to say is he's an unreliable narrator, but we also have no reason to disbelieve that he was saying that the government of Cardassia, you know, was like, yeah, do whatever the fuck you want.
Well, no,
but I think the important thing to note here is that all of these things that Dukat is saying are modeled off of literally the Nazis from the Nuremberg trials, you know, only following orders kind of thing.
Right.
And the gag being, it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? You're following orders to murder millions of people. That doesn't count, you know?
Yeah, and well, my point was simply that, like, yeah, I realized that whole parallel with the Nazis and everything. My point was simply that this episode is full of him saying things and me, you know, as a viewer, me wondering, it's like, does he really believe this? Is he being delusional here? How can he possibly be this, like, out of his mind?
I think it's both.
So I
think that's the fucked up thing.
And that's what I was like, all these lists I made were just of him, like, lying to himself, or is he delusional, or is he telling the truth, or... So that
man's got lists.
So that one definitely was a truth, you know. But then there was other things, like when he said that, when he was talking about how he would let his methods. Dumar was saying your methods were in good spirited but questionable. That was probably, he was probably getting a lot of that questionable shit from his people around him.
Yeah, because Dumar was playing the role of you're not. You should be killing Sisko.
Right. And but Garrick, I keep calling him Garrick. I've been doing this at home too. Who's calling him Garrick? Dukat was,
at home.
When Dukat probably believed himself though, after he was nice to them, after he did that, he was basically like, that I was well-intentioned, but in retrospect, that was a fucked up thing, which is probably also what, it's all blended together, like what people around him are saying, how he's interpreting it, how, like, what he believes about himself and what he doesn't.
It's trying to justify unjustifiable behaviors, and when you transpose it to a different setting, it's like, oh, you know, I've enslaved you, but I'm, you know, as compared to your previous enslaver, I'm going to give you a slightly modified work schedule and a couple other benefits. But you are still enslaved.
Right.
Your life is still in service to me. And I'm not only do I believe, but I'm vocalizing, I'm verbalizing my belief that I'm superior to you at a fundamental level. and him not recognizing how that's something people aren't going to put up with. And that's why he's so shocked when the Bajorans attacked him and bombed the barracks and stuff like that. It's like, come on.
It's hard. We don't really know if Dukat and all of Cardassia, like, do all Cardassians feel as angry as Dukat? Because it seems like Dukat's like more, no, somehow
Dukat
even more
his
angry.
Own thing, because Dukat is, and I think that Deep Space Nine did a good job with characters like Garrick and Inabrin Tain and others, even ones who were doing up, you know, up to shady stuff, to show that there was a lot of diversity in the individual philosophies and perspectives and outlooks and all that stuff, while having a certain overarching Cardassian style, right? Mm-hmm. Of a certain flair for the dramatic, a love of order, a preference for making decisions that are easy binary decisions, that sort of thing.
Bunch of snappy lines.
So this line,
like snapping turtles because they're lizard people. Lizard.
So this line right here that Dukat's,
bunch of cold reptilian stares.
This line right here,
Whose line is it?
This is seven.
Anyway.
This one right here.
This is 7 seconds. See if we can do it.
Ooh, this is on the shorter side for Dan.
I should have turned their planet into a graveyard the likes of which the galaxy had never seen.
See, that line right there makes it seem like he's like almost worse than Central Command right there.
Of course.
He thinks, and it's funny because he thinks he's being, you know, generous, and he thinks he's has is merciful and generous and that kind of stuff. But in actuality, he's kind of worse than them, you know? Oh, and it's because he thinks he's generous. Those people at Central Command probably had no delusions about how nice they were being, they were not being, rather, to the Bajorans.
There is a truism. I mean, there's a certain belief out there that I tend to subscribe to this, that people who are clever can be the most dangerous because they have such good rationalization engines in their brain. They can just justify, at least internally to themselves and often to other people, they can justify just about any sort of behavior just through the manipulation and of facts and the selective mentioning certain things while pushing other things away. And you have to be careful around those types of people because, like in the case of Gul Dukat, I think part of his brain understands that he's believing things that are not true. He's at the very least exaggerating things in a way that benefits him psychologically. However, that same psychology is sort of supersedes all that. And is like, no. See, it's all true. It all makes sense because of this. It's a puzzle that all works and holds together. What's great about this episode is I think it pairs very well with the episode I mentioned before, Duet, from season 2.
Dukat and Duet with Mark Alaimo.
And that's one where Kira is having a conversation, and I don't want to give spoilers away there, but is having a conversation with a Cardassian prisoner who's associated with one of the worst prison / death camps on Bajor during their occupation. And he ends up in the prison cell on Deep Space Nine. And there's this, it's a very one-on-one, again, very theatrical interaction between this character and Kira's character. But the storyline goes in a different direction. The characterization goes in a different direction, but it serves as a nice companion piece to Waltz because Mark Alaimo, it's a similar scenario, but he's going a different direction with it because he's got a different personality. He's got a different psychological makeup. And so it's more in the line of the like Nazis trying to justify their crimes. And people always bring up the Nazis. This is true. All manner of people, unfortunately, all over the place.
It's not just the Nazis.
Justifying all manner of pretty terrible behavior. And in some cases, getting back to the whole cleverness being a problem thing, if the reality starts creeping in because the person's smart, you know, and their brain is doing things and saying like, you know what, actually kind of feels like this. You double down, like you were saying, Dan, you double down to protect yourself and you keep doubling down. And that ends up with you being like, I should fucking glass the whole planet.
Yeah.
It's the only rational thing you can do is total and utter extermination of your psychological enemy that you've built up in your own fucking brain over the course of like 15 minutes.
So here is like where his racist rant really begins, this part.
From the moment we arrived on Bajor, it was clear that we were the superior race. But they couldn't accept that. They wanted to be treated as equals when they most certainly were not.
That's at the moment where he finally, all of his sort of intense polarizing, yet feeding his ego sort of thoughts and ideas. Like, he thinks he's better than the Bajorans, but he also thought he's their savior at the same time. Which, strangely, that those two thoughts can like somehow
it's a classic
can intertwine with each other.
And it's an abuser's behavior. If it's a one-on-one thing, it's just, you know, it could be physical, sexual, emotional abuse. Very easy to form those types of relationships and see how people can get trapped in various roles in those relationships. And then you put it in the hand, you put that same kind of issue in somebody who has actual power, political power, military power, other forms of power that he cobbles together along the way, in terms of being a sort of a proto, you know,
Frodo?
Frodo. Well, I was going to say a populist thing, not
Frodo.
Frodo.
Gandalf.
Bilbo.
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 Just never leave.
Do it. Do it.
I'm not going to play the Billy Madison one again.
Shampoo is better. Okay, let's do it.
That's another one.
Man, I love I love Avery Brooks.
I love
Avery Brooks.
This line is another one where it doesn't sound like him at all. Like, if you keep listening to it.
Okay, let's do it.
You could totally put that in like a techno or a dance, like a dance song.
I encourage you to do
and
so.
And it's just like, it's like the beat drops and then it's or right before the beat.
I think you've played, you've got a couple audio clips in here like that, like Gul Dukat saying Odo is another Odo. One that I think you can make a beat out of. So I encourage you.
Odo.
To make
Odo.
Some.
This could be like a synth bass, a synth bass at different pitches.
Odo.
And then it's
Odo.
Like.
Mark a Lima Odo.
And then the bass plays and then it gets quiet and right before the beat drops it goes
okay, let's do it.
Chief O'Brien. Chief O'Brien.
You're my number one dad.
Chief O'Brien?
Odo.
What were we talking
about abusive Dukat.
Yeah, but there was something more fun after that.
There was something more fun than abuse.
Look, I love Deep Space Nine. It remains my favorite Star Trek out of all of them. I love watching it. It's just many of the episodes like this one, you know, the algorithm spit this episode out.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was, what was it? The third choice after two previous episodes that we already did.
It was after we were thinking about doing a TNG one.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. We picked this one cause we wanted to do some Deep Space Nine. So it was a little lower down the
line. We've done a lot of TNG.
But a lot of the Deep Space Nine is pretty heavy and serious.
Yeah.
So we're all like, and the emotional abuse and the cycle that continues and the Nazis and the extermination of the Bajoran. that can be a bit of a downer. But it's just so well done. And Mark Alaimo is excellent.
Mark Alaimo.
Avery Brooks is excellent. And it's true that Deep Space Nine has a more theatrical vibe to it in terms of the actors and their styles and how they approach things. And I think the other thing that the show has going for it is that the producers and the writers understand that and they can all work together so that they're writing for the strengths of the actors. And I think they do a really great job, particularly here late in the series, in the sixth season.
I think when the algorithm, before I tweaked it a bit, like when it kept spitting out past tense, I still think that the reason it kept spitting out past tense is, I bet you, my hypothesis is that past tense is a very...
You got a hypothesis about the hypotenuse.
My hypothesis is that past tense is a very conversational episode. I'll have to watch it again to confirm that. And the reason I say that is because it listens to our podcast, and that having a podcast is kind of like having a conversation. So why would it keep spitting back one episode in particular? It must use a lot of like generic kind of words or something and very conversational. That's my hypothesis.
Yeah. Well, we'll look into that.
We'll look into that. But back to abusive Dukat. He was also doing, there was right here, My mouse away from the microphone. Looking at my screen.
What are you doing here?
This is Dukat's misery moment from the Stephen King story Misery.
Oh.
If there's one thing I can't abide, it's betrayal.
Betrayal.
And he smashes him because he's like you betrayed me. Like, what? You got my
rod.
If there's one thing that a captor shouldn't be angry, a captor shouldn't be angry at of his captee. That was a weird sentence I just
captive.
Said.
Captive.
A captive. Thank you. Jesus. I can't believe I did. Thank you. That was
I don't know. I kind of liked it when he said captive.
Captain. Hey,
it
captain.
Makes more sense. Hey, captain.
Hey, captain. Where's your captive? Where's your captive?
T'Pol.
Where's your cap? I'm your sexual captive, T'Pol. Your sexual captive.
Where's that nightcap?
Where? Where's your cutoff? Your shirt cut off in the midriffs.
Where's your impractical nightcap?
Let's rub some sludge on each other. Let's rub some gooey sludge.
Let's ride a horse on
disinfectant goo
on that cowboy planet.
Cowboy.
Charles Chip Tucker the Third.
If there's one thing
we can't go to war.
A captor should not be angry at his captive.
Aha.
When his captive tries to escape.
Express.
I was trying to say express, space, so and express. All the, and no, wait. So well. Express, space. When he was trying, I was trying to say express, space, and escape all at the same time.
Wow, dude.
Dude, you have ambition. You have some fucking ambition.
How come you tried to say all those things at the same
time? I thought it would work.
You've got ambition, you've got gall.
And Dukat.
But you've
moxie.
Got,
I got some Dukat.
You've got moxie, you've got guile. And not the Street Fighter guy.
Hutzpah?
Did you miss my joke?
What
you
was your joke?
You said I had gall, and I said, do I have Dukat?
Is it a gallstone joke?
Gall? Dukat?
Oh, a gall Dukat as opposed to gall.
Yeah, gall Dukat.
Yeah, gall Dukat.
Gall Dukat.
I thought you were making a gallstone joke, but I didn't know how it worked.
I don't either.
All right, continue.
A captor should not be angry at his captive for trying to escape. We're going to play this game again. A captor should not be angry at his captive for trying to escape. Now, I can see how
why
they might.
Not?
They can beat them to prevent for purposes of keeping them in place. I can imagine why a captor would beat them. But that's not why Dukat was beating Sisko at that moment. He beat Sisko because he felt betrayed by Sisko.
It wasn't me.
And when Sisko, and talk about abusive, when Sisko says, you brought this on yourself to Sisko, or when Dukat says,
that was pretty fucking abusive.
It's like, it's your fault. It's your fault. I'm beating you right now. You know?
Sadly, and if you hadn't
betrayed me, see, like that's totally the wrong reason to beat your captor. Captive. Captive. Okay, I'm done.
I support and agree with all the points that you just made. Out of sheer curiosity, I was wondering if you could list a few of the good reasons to beat your captee.
Let's change the subject.
They're asking.
Well played, sir.
Well played, audio man.
With your little audio toys.
Oh, your toys! It's beautiful toys.
Yes, with your touch screen.
Touch your screen. Yeah. Well, not a good reason to beat someone. There's never a good reason to beat someone.
You have to feed them.
You know, so you beat them?
Yes.
Because you have to feed... What?
I'm just thinking like a fucked up captor.
So instead of... Wait, how would that help your situation, though?
Well, you're just taking... the fact that you have to keep them alive, and you take out the frustration.
But what does it have to do with them not being eaten? Or being wanting not having food to eat? What does it have to do with that?
I was just trying to think of evil thoughts.
Okay, that is an evil thought. It's like, you're hungry, so I'm going to beat you. That's a really fucked up thought.
I was thinking about
actually.
Evil thoughts.
That's, or maybe if they weren't eating or refusing.
That's
to
the
eat.
Kind of fucked up thought I would never have come up with, because that's really fucked up.
Well, I'm a bad fella.
You're hungry, I'm going to beat you.
Yeah.
Like, I just was like, I don't know exactly what I mean. You pushed him until you forced him to think of, like, on the spot, think of horrible reasons to
No, that's not it. That's not what happened. You asked what a good reason to beat someone was, and Jesse volunteered that. Right. I had nothing to do with Jesse's
opinion. I tried to think of a reason.
I was just trying to press Jesse on why he said that.
A reason to beat someone is going to be an evil reason.
It's right? The reason
no,
for the
you should
season.
Never beat someone.
No, you shouldn't. But I'm saying if you have someone captive, the reason you might beat them is to prevent them from escaping. Now, that doesn't involve emotion. That simply is a practical thing to do.
Because
and that's what
they're
I'm
your
saying.
Captive, and you have to keep them captive.
But you're talking more. I mean, there's beating, and then there's hobbling, and hobbling
involves someone being
that's
beat.
That's when you bust out a pipe and you whack them.
Well,
around.
You have to break the legs so they can't run away.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying would be not a good reason, because there is no good reason, but that would be a practical reason.
I was
reason.
Merely taking the opportunity to point out the distinction.
When
since
they
you
rescued
mentioned
Sisko, and they had that thing on his head, that means he probably had a concussion.
Wait,
and shit.
What difference were you pointing out? The difference between beat and hobble?
Yes. I mean,
okay.
I think there's a nuance. I think both.
Okay, no, I think I get what you're
saying. Both can have the same purpose, but different degrees.
Okay.
You can
I will accept
beat
that.
The shit out of somebody and be like, don't fucking move. And the person's like, dude, I'm all fucked up. I'm not going to move. Or you can be like, I got to make sure you don't move. So they do the horrible hobbling thing like they do in Misery.
So are you saying that when you beat someone, that necessarily involves evil emotional thoughts when you beat someone?
No, and I'll get to the whole evil thing in
and
a bit.
So
what I mean is I agree with you that you could use what a great episode of a podcast but I agree that you could use physical violence in principle for the purpose of discouraging somebody from escaping
and
by making it more difficult to them.
And my point was that that's not what Dukat was doing. Dukat was being like, you betrayed me, you did me wrong, which was like the delusional reason. It's not a practical reason to do it, you know. It's a fucked up, I mean, it's all fucked up, but you know, this is starting to get a little intense with the beating. I'm okay. Starting to feel bad.
How about this? We can take a quick break, and then we can come back and wrap up our conversation. We can get all sorts of sillies out.
No one gets
I'll be back within the hour.
Well, I mean, quicker than that. It's a little sound effect we play when the sound effect's over, because we don't have any actual commercials at this stage. Unless this is the future, and then some commercials have been
Domino's
added.
Domino's Pizza.
So no promises, because we could, you know, really shoot to the top of the Star Trek podcast charts and get all the money people chasing after us being like, hey, take our money. We have delicious money for you. Take our money. Hawk our wares and services. And then there could be a commercial inserted into it. But at the time of recording, we do not expect there to be a commercial coming up. We're just going to take a break and then be right back.
There's a part of me that wishes he were dead.
All right, we're back. And nobody wishes anybody death.
No.
And we are anti-violence and anti-bullying.
No one's getting beat.
Anti-bullying.
Beaten.
Yes, anti-bullying, anti-all that.
You may employ the
no
colloquial...
No matter how much you're asking for it, you're not getting a good one.
I was just going to make a joke about beating your meat, and Jesse's about to go outside and get a switch.
Listen,
go get like a good long thin.
I'm going to go out live there and find branch. One. I'm going to make you find one.
Make us get a yeah. That's right. You make them find the switch. Jesus, man, we were lucky growing up.
Paddle your white buns.
We did not get beaten growing up, but I did. Maybe you can.
No, I did not.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, we had nice parents, mm-hmm. but our parents' parents totally,
yes,
totally
yes.
kicked the shit
they
out of
got
them.
Beaten. Yeah. Generational differences.
Okay, now that concludes the generational abuse portion of the conversation.
You've made some good points, Tamar.
Wei Yun was being like extra Wei Yun.
Yeah.
Well, extra theatrical Wei Yun.
Do you think Wei Yun likes to weigh in on various strategic conversations?
I would
no!
Dan, do you get it? Wait.
Enough!
Wei Yun likes to weigh in. You get it?
I see.
Do you think that's like why he hangs out with like the founders and the other in the Breen and
not really?
Because I think Wei Yun, I think he likes to. I think he likes to weigh in. One star.
What are they doing?
There's a bunch of cackling.
This ruined my day.
They just played sounds of witches cackling for like an hour.
They have enough energy to release a podcast for free, but I don't. So they ruined my day. And this is how they spent their time expending their energy in a way that I choose not to? That makes me feel bad. What am I doing with my life? Fuck them.
They don't even have commercials.
Not yet. We might in the future. You never know. You
so,
never know.
Capitalism.
Capitalism.
Yeah. I think Dan in particular would make a great spokesman for all manner of
oh,
products.
We could do underwriting. Yeah.
You know what product I do like, actually? I had some blue cheese dressing the other day. It was fantastic.
For real?
Fantastic.
Are you just speaking generically about blue cheese dressing?
No.
Or was there a particular brand of
this what, is, what do you use your blue cheese dressing
And I know we,
on?
We spake of Roquefort dressing a few weeks
yes,
back.
Yes, Roquefort. Or as they call it, down as all those jam eaters down in Tasmania call it.
That sounds
they
bad.
They call it, what was it? Roofies?
Roof? What?
what was it? Australian?
It was like Rufois or something.
Rufort.
Oh, you're talking about my joke.
No. Yeah, yes. Your joke.
Oh, I thought you were talking about.
You made a joke about Tasmania.
When Unplanned Trek put a post on Twitter that played the pronunciation of Roquefort,
yes.
And it was something like Rufois or something like that. No, but my joke was marsupials like Roquefort. That was the joke.
Roquefort cheese. Yes, marsupial. So I guess the implication was
but
that it was associated
but
with
that
Australia.
That was dependent upon the idea that Australians are really into Roquefort, which I misread from the internet.
Just the marsupials.
I thought the internet said, like, Roquefort's popular in Australia. All it said is Roquefort recently got approved as, like, a proper cheese.
Legal
or import or export or something. Like, I don't know.
Oh.
Or I don't know what it was, but I misread it. So Roquefort and Australia have nothing to do
legal.
With each other.
Legal. You can eat it now.
So,
it's legal. Totally legal now.
So, no, I had...
It's not just for marsupials.
I like blue cheese dressing a lot, and restaurant blue cheese dressing is often pretty good. bottled blue cheese dressing, there's always some kind of sort of weird tang to it that I don't like. Like Ken's blue cheese, bottled blue cheese dressing. Right. It has this tang that I don't like, but I found some shit
what
called...
What about it when it's in a bag?
Like at Chili's or something, like in the restaurant in the back?
Yeah. It was same difference.
Like I don't know. Cisco same. Systems blue
I'm
cheese.
I'm talking about like soup, a blue cheese you buy in the supermarket. I've Cisco, never... Yeah. I've
you
never
said soup again.
Soup.
That gets back to... This is a callback. Comedically, this is a callback to when we mentioned... Ducat and Cisco slurping on that soup.
Are you going to put that in my soup?
With the flopping the lizard penis. Flop! Just flop that lizard, and a little bit of the soup splashes
you're
out into
me,
Cisco's
you're
eye,
asking
and Cisco's
me
if, just all like, Jesus Christ, this guy.
You're asking me if I'm a good spokesperson, and I'm trying to tell you that I've never had a blue cheese that I bought at a supermarket that I truly enjoyed to the max. Mm. Only kind of, but not
so
to the max.
So what's the brand that you like?
It's called Lighthouse, L-I-T-E,
oh,
Lighthouse Blue
Lighthouse.
Cheese.
Lighthouse.
It was fan-fucking-tastic. Now, I was all about it. I loved it.
On what do you... Put this blue treat, blue cheese dressing. I had a problem speaking there. What do you use the dressing on, sir?
You can put it on all kinds of things. You can put it in.
You put it on like carrots and shit?
You can put it on carrots. You can put it on a sandwich.
Could you put it on your captor's lizard penis?
Do you put it on sandwiches
no.
and potato chips and stuff?
Yes, sandwiches,
potato
chips.
Can your captor dip their lizard penis?
It's nice if you mix it in with some spaghetti with meat sauce, mix
okay.
in some blue cheese.
Okay. Okay.
Or you can mix it with some rice and beans. And
can you just slurp it out with a spoon?
You could just I could slurp the stuff on a spoon. It didn't. It
is
was
it
creamy.
A, is it a plastic?
It was
squeezy
creamy.
Bottle,
Buffalo
or is it like
wings.
A cap? Does it have like wings? A? Does it have like a cap?
It
or
reminded,
is it a squirt cap.
It's a squirt cap. It reminded me of Big Bite. It's not as good as Big Bite's blue
Big
cheese
Bite.
Dressing, but it reminded
Big Bite
me of
is a local
okay.
pizza establishment.
Hey,
that has
there you
excellent
go.
Blue cheese All in right. it. Anyways,
okay. I
so,
think that this paid for digression. I hope we're getting some money for
from
this.
Lighthouse Blue Cheese.
That has illustrated. Your point.
I don't know if we've we gotten any money out of this, but Dan, you gotta go try to get some money out of it now.
It's no fake zip, just real good.
Is that their slogan?
No Ooh. Fake tang. I'm trying to come up with one. No fake tang.
No fake zip.
No fake tang, just real good.
Jizo flip.
No fake tang.
Just right. real good.
Okay.
See, right. one's fake and one's real.
Yeah, sort of. I sort of
what do you really think of me?
I sort of gathered what
you Okay, meant. We can change the subject.
Commander Worf is captain here.
I swear on purpose, they do it on purpose. Like,
Commander Worf is captain here.
I swear in Star Trek, they're always like playing beeps.
Yeah, you
specifically
play the
timing
beeps.
Them right after they speak, yeah. though. I know you can probably just hear it better because they're done speaking, but it sounds like they're purposely like making the beeps louder right when they finish
is
speaking.
Is the Defiant louder than other ships?
Well, you know, I think sometimes it can sort be. It's context. More confined. It's yeah. a more there's a tighter space.
This is 18 yeah. seconds that could very well be really boring, but I'm going to try it anyway.
Yeah. We are in the last stage of the podcast
so,
here.
Yeah.
The last third, winding things down. This is where we have an opportunity to be a little experimental. Most people have already fallen asleep at this stage.
Yep.
So the best case scenario is we're subtly manipulating their dreams as they listen to this podcast.
Ice cream
Hit
sandwiches.
It, Dan. Hit it with your experimental audio clip.
So this
ice
next 18.
Sandwiches.
So you guys got to be quiet for this whole 18 seconds,
all right,
please.
100%.
Please. So it's a transition background. It's a transition in the background mm-hmm. from the cave to Defiant.
Un, deux, trois, quatre, cinco.
It transitions from the cave to the Defiant back to the cave again, and it does it pretty smoothly.
Well, yeah,
and it sounds a little bit something like this.
Commander. Picking up a distress signal.
Could you tell when it switched?
Yes.
Could you, Jesse? You didn't know what we were listening for, did you?
Not exactly.
No. I was.
I know exactly what you wanted. And yes, I could tell the difference.
When it switched from the cave to the Defiant, back to the cave again.
Yes. Yeah, no, I got it. Yeah.
I'll play half of it. I won't play the whole thing. I'll play half of it.
All right.
For
Jesse's benefit,
so
we'll play it a small proportion of it again.
So
a small portion.
Small proportion. So, so it begins with cave. At some point, it switches to the Defiant. Cave.
Commander, I'm picking up a distress signal.
Okay.
Even in that one, it switched back. I thought that was a really...
Who was that was speaking?
Who was that guy? Who do you think? I don't know.
I know.
Could it be...
Could it have been maybe...
Chief O'Brien? It's okay, but I don't know anything about engineering.
The lesser played entirely. That whole scene...
Right. It's weird that you played the longer... I thought for ultimate comedic awesomeness, you were just going to play the Bolanas on it.
that would have been...
It would be, you know, the unsuspected gag. I like what you did as well.
When too. I played the longer Chief O'Brien?
I see what you did.
I should have played the Bolanas on it. That would have been funnier.
Well, you know, again, this is... You know, we're workshopping it here. Yeah. This is
the third act.
Episode. Did we mention which episode of the podcast? What is this? 184?
Five.
Yes.
I think it's five. Four.
It's 184, five. I'm pretty sure.
I thought last week was 100. Okay, here's another part. This is the saddest rescue ever.
I've locked onto them. Transport room to bridge. We have the survivors on board. Two women. Ensign and a lieutenant. Dr. Bashir is checking them now.
Right
here. It's not Sisko and
right,
Golden.
Yeah, here's the last part of it. Hold on a second.
Whoops. I've locked onto them. Survivors on board. Two women. An ensign and a lieutenant. Dr. Bashir is checking them now.
Totally the saddest rescue. Yeah. He just saved their life and he's totally bummed out.
He looked over and then he looked back and he was just I have to pretend like I'm not disappointed.
And this was the whole exchange with Bashir and O'Brien and Dax and all of them. The weak attempt.
Commander Dax!
The weak attempt to like pretend that they were like, didn't hear what they said.
I couldn't understand a word Kira said. Too much interference. Looks to me like we're on our own.
Totally, it's like you know what's going on. You know what's going on, and what's funny is they knew that it was very obvious that he was trying to pull some shadiness because then Dax is all.
I could understand what she was trying to say.
Like it was totally like a call out. It was a switcheroo. It was trying to pull the because shows will do that, right? Where they'll say, "Oh, I didn't hear what they were saying. Guess we have to risk everyone's life and save them," you know. And then at the end, they're commended for their you know defiance. Mm-hmm. But
and they're on the defiance.
It's called the defiance.
But they but instead of going along with it, like Dax was straight up like.
I could understand what she was trying to say.
He's like, this is not working, guys. We know what's going on. And then...
I love Dax. Dax is one of my favorite characters, particularly Jadzia Dax. However, it is fair to say that Dax in class would be the person who would raise her hand and be like, oh, teacher, you said you were going to assign the weekend homework and you forgot to assign the weekend homework.
It's a three-day weekend, so you're supposed to give us an extra day's work.
Like the spring break homework.
Right. And this last part, Bashir is lucky he didn't get a batleth through the face.
What about you, Chief? Did you understand?
Wait.
No, I couldn't understand a word.
That was the wrong one.
Apparently that was... Hey, by the way, audience, quick note. That was the wrong clip.
Okay, well this...
Just FYI.
This was the... Okay,
please disregard it.
So that clip I've just played, this is when O'Brien was trying to play along.
What about you, Chief? Did you understand? No, I couldn't understand a word.
This is
didn't we already hear that?
Yeah, I mean, no, but I set it up wrong before. Oh, I had to set it up correctly this time. Right. And so this one is when Bashir should have got a bat lift to the butt, to cut his butt cheek off. He should have cut his butt cheek off. Should have cut his butt cheeks off.
Which one?
Hey, you know, like,
both
on,
of them?
You know, on Saturday Night Live, like how like those sketches they put like right at the end. You know that?
Yeah. Is that what we're going on?
Apropos
here?
Of nothing. You know about that. You know those end of the night sketches.
Okay, so this is Bashir.
There's Bashir getting a bat lift up the butt.
No, not up the butt. They were gonna cut his butt cheeks off.
See, you said I know. You said the cutting the butt cheeks off in a weird attempt to make it less offensive.
No, that's what I meant.
I don't want people to think I was being crass in 1980 style. Like, well, get something up the butt. We know you weren't intending that. I don't think you needed to add the. What I meant to say is to slice off their butt cheeks.
I wasn't doing that. That's what I intended all along. I don't know what you're thinking.
All right.
Maybe you were thinking that.
I was just following orders, dude.
If that's on your mind, then I'm concerned.
That is what is on my mind.
So all maybe right. You need to talk to someone.
Play your business.
Okay, so Bashir's lucky.
You will forgive me if I don't consider your honor to be worth Captain Sisko's life.
You may leave the bridge, Doctor.
And it's even better when you see it because like Worf is just like nods his head real quick.
Well, Worf is like that's okay. Badass. Yeah. He's like, what you just said was badass. You have to leave. I mean, like, I'm still gonna do what I.
Right. No, I thought it was like. Like, if that happened on a Klingon ship, right, like, someone would be dying from that.
Not necessarily.
He
maybe.
Challenged Worf's honor.
Yeah, but he didn't challenge Worf directly, I think. And he's, you know, it would be dishonorable to fight a... a wispy guy like.
Well, no, okay, but I don't think he like thought. I don't think he thought it was badass. I don't think that.
I thought Worf was like. I
think
Worf was like. I get what you're saying. It's cool. You're loyal to Sisko.
It was like you just have to go right.
It's like
now,
that's rad, right. But you know, we got to do what we got to do.
I took it as Worf was like, you're lucky we're on the Defiant right now.
Recently. In whenever you're listening to this, episode of the It's Got Star Trek podcast, not in the not too distant past
in
of
the future.
Of the time of recording, Gates McFadden's Investigates podcast had Alexander Siddig on. It was an excellent podcast.
I'm going to enjoy watching this.
If you want to have some, hear some sexy Alexander Siddig talk about gardening and other things.
Worf.
Investigates is great, by the way. She's had most of these people have been on the podcast, and not just Deep Space Nine and TNG. They also have Anson Mount and all sorts of other people on there too. Right. Something worth checking out.
Before we wrap up, I don't know how much time we have left. We still got a bit of time, actually.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a bunch.
Yeah, you can play. You can play 7 23 second clips. And that accounts for accidentally playing two of them wrong and having to redo them. And playing three of them, but then having me talk over them and having to restart them because I talked over the important part.
That was
a very diplomatic thing you just did, Patrick.
That's like some end of
you,
the...
You started with an attack on me, but then you like self-deprecated
and then sliced their butts off.
It's like the end of like...
Their butt cheeks. I said butt cheeks.
It's like the end of an NBA game when they keep like making extra... Like timeouts and shit. Like,
oh no! I think
it keeps going.
Yeah,
going.
Right. They keep fouling like each other.
Yeah.
By the way, I think you can say cut their butts off, and I think it's implied that it would be the butt cheeks.
No, because you could chop off one butt cheek. That would not be chopping the butt off.
Okay.
Which cheek?
I mean,
it's up to you, bro.
I think that's a fair
point.
You're
going to sit all crooked.
I think there's a colloquial argument to be made, but I think it's a moot point because I don't think this is a common phrase or aphorism.
It's a toot point.
I'm going to slice your butt off, or I'm going to slice off one or more of your butt cheeks. I don't think it's
not
that,
in the English language.
I don't think it's
in
that
a
common.
Different language.
Yeah. Maybe it's an Andorian thing.
Mm-hmm.
They get up to all sorts of weird business.
Yeah. I'm going to slice your blue butt off.
I did want to comment just briefly. The only mild critique I have, and it's a very personal critique of the episode, is I wasn't a huge fan of the conclusion being that Sisko's all like, man, I've seen a lot of shit in my day, but I never like believed in evil. Then I hung out with this dude and that dude's evil. The reason I didn't like that is I think that I'm not a big fan of the philosophical concept of like, mysterious evil.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think it, first of all, it takes responsibility away from individuals. And I think on the flip side, it also obscures what is, in this case, was expressly stated to be at least partly informed by mental illness.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Dukat is not a good person.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also like, there's something wrong with that dude. Yeah. And not just the hallucinations. There was something wrong with him going way back. And they've made many comments, particularly in Deep Space Nine, that the Cardassian culture, the fascist culture, has a negative influence on people. Some of them work their way out of it, like Garrick is a good example. Damar is a good example. Others, like Inabrin Tain or much more acutely Dukat, don't. They dig deeper into the cocoon of their fascist society.
True.
So to me, I thought as well, it was as it was performed by Avery Brooks because he can perform these scenes so fucking awesomely.
He's an actor for real.
He can take almost any dialogue and make it excellent.
True.
I personally thought the whole like ascribe was like, oh, this is super evil, undercut a lot of what happened previous in the episode and what happens in more broadly. And they'd already done the whole Sisko has his white whale thing with Eddington and Eddington betraying him, you know, and doing the whole business with the Maquis and all that other stuff. So they've kind of gone through those motions a little bit. You don't need to set up Sisko as having some like personal vendetta with the evil Gul Dukat.
It's him.
I think it's sufficient that his role is to protect Bajor specifically and more broadly as a Starfleet officer to be the good guy, ostensibly in some fashion, whatever challenges he might stumble across in the process of trying to be that good guy, as opposed to just ascribing all of Gul Dukat's craziness to just evil.
And that is why you're not an evil man.
Yeah, I agree. I thought that line was a little... I don't like when... when anyone sort of brings up the idea, like in on TV and the news and stuff like that, when they talk about people being evil, and it's like, I get what you're saying, but it's like,
For me, the nuance is like that line you just played. The nuance is if you're using the adjective evil as a shorthand
For disagree with us.
Yeah, no, but as a shorthand for malevolence, or a shorthand for a person or a group who are causing problems for society.
Disagree with us.
Yeah, you could, if you want to say, oh yes, it's evil that corporations are polluting the things. Like, I understand that, and I'm fine with the term evil as a shortcut to encapsulate those things.
Right.
What I'm uncomfortable with is the idea that, like, no, there's a mystical evil that we're battling.
Mystical evil.
Because it does, again, it takes responsibility away from the actual actors who are committing the bad acts. And
not the badass bad acts.
Yes. And it can also put people into a position where they're like, well, why can't I? It's just natural. It's just natural that people are going to be evil. I can't do anything about it. And I don't think that's a helpful, if you're an anti-evil, I don't think it's helpful to be like, evil is a mystical, magical
force. People are just evil.
It infects people and makes them. No, come on. We can approach things differently. Certainly in Star Trek, they tend to.
Are you going to put that in my soup?
But that's, I've said my piece about that. Other than that, this is often one of my top Deep Space Nine episodes that I like to go back to.
It's really intense, and I think it's really well done, and I thoroughly enjoy it. The awesomest exchange in this, actually, that I simply have labeled awesome. Is
awesome.
lame, not cool. Lame, not cool. Are you a pleasure model? Awesome.
I don't. Gotcha. You just Googled awesome-o. Awesome hyphen O.
South Park. Yeah, I don't usually sit around.
It's worth watching that.
I don't usually sit around quoting like movies and things. Sometimes I do, but I can endlessly just like keep going. Lame, not cool. Hell, awesome-o.
If you want to laugh at what It's Got Star Trek's laughing at, tune in to, I don't even know where the fuck they have it now, Paramount Plus, HBO, Comedy Central, I don't know. Go type in South Park.
Awesome-o.
Awesome-o.
It's one of the best South Park episodes.
All right, really. So continue. I'm sorry to have derailed you.
No, what that was...
You labeled an audio clip.
No, see, here's something I want to point out. That was a good derailment. That was Jesse's cue. He's now's my chance.
Jesse has these occasional indicators that he's lost some level of interest in the conversation that Dan and I are having.
We can do without the fart noises. I thought it was a deft derailment, is what I thought.
Yes.
I was okay with that one.
What was the previous term you used? The constructive derailment?
It was constructive derailment.
See, I like, can we start a band called Constructive Derailment?
Yeah, it's kind of kind of opposing ideas, isn't it?
Yeah.
Constructive derailment.
Yeah,
that's a good name.
Shove trains filled with chemicals off the tracks so they all spill into the river.
And you chop
with
off
contact mics.
Chop off your butt cheeks.
Yes, as the old saying goes.
Yeah,
as my meemaw used to say when we were sitting around the
turn into barbecue
wood burning. So yes, turning the barbecue
butt cheeks into barbecue.
If you kids don't keep turning that spit, I'm gonna slice off your butt cheeks.
I will see what I can do.
All right, what was labeled awesome?
Awesome-o.
Who knows?
Lame, not cool. Okay, this one. This is awesome. Mm. This is about, I think, 10 or 15 seconds.
Oh.
Here we go. In a three, a two, a one, two, three. Boop.
You were prefect of Bajor during the occupation. True or false? True. And you were responsible for everything that happened under your command. True or false? True. So that means that you are responsible for the murder of over 5 million Bajorans on your watch. True or false?
False. I tried to save lives during my administration.
Evidence!
Evidence! He wants evidence!
Evidence!
Okay,
that's so fucking great. It's so amazing. That I don't First know that all, whole that both of them together. It's that synergy. That's Bofa. That's synergy right there. Is what that is.
Yes. First evidence. Of all, yes.
Great, evidence.
Great. Great lines. Well, excellent audio clip you pulled there. Another thing to point out, it is lifted almost exactly from Nuremberg Trials again. You know, it's like this back and forth.
Right.
Well, you know, Nuremberg, other similar types of war crimes trials.
Wait, was this lifted from the Nuremberg reports?
I mean,
it's the broken, wrinkled noses.
Was that lifted from there too?
I think that's paraphrasing. Maybe paraphrasing.
I feel bad.
I think all of this is paraphrasing. Yeah. It's just a flavor of Nuremberg and other war crimes trials. But the other thing that I liked about that, I don't know if you noticed this, Jesse, that while that clip was playing, not the whole time, but periodically, Dan was mouthing along with
it. I was into it.
Oh, I didn't notice.
All doing a little pantomime, like,
because I was so into it. I was loving it. It's such a great buildup. You know,
this is City of a Five.
Yeah, when he goes,
false. I tried to save lives during my administration.
When that and then it follows up with Sisko, you know, saying the whole
evidence.
Like, I don't know. Yeah. It's just it built up so awesomely, and like it began with this awesome rhythm of like just like da 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 da, like a like a train speeding up. Da 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 da.
It's very theatrical. Yeah. It's another very theatrical element.
I enjoyed it. You might have to play it again, Dan. Play it again, Sam. Which she never says in the movie. I know. Sorry.
Are you done talking to yourself?
I like the part.
Why are you talking to yourself?
I like the part where Sisko, in the clip he played, where Sisko says Bergerans.
Yeah, he does say Bergerans.
It's like you killed 5 million Bergerans.
Okay, wait.
Banana.
You were prefect of Bajor during the occupation. True or false? True. And you were responsible for everything that happened under your command. True or false? True! So that means that you are responsible for the murder of over 5 million Bajorans.
Bajorans. Wait a second.
It's so intense and sad and serious.
False. True. So that means that you are responsible for the murder of over 5 million Bajorans on your wife.
Bajorans. That's like this girl that I was actually talking about her earlier tonight before the podcast that I lived in the same dorm as me. She would always say vagina.
That's funny. Is she talking about the state in which we live, or about her genitalia?
She's talking about her genitalia.
And I believe you have mentioned that on the podcast before. I don't know which episode.
And someone asked her to. And I'm not trying to. I shouldn't. This is. I'm it's punching down a little. Well, no, I'm not. No, it's me. It's punching down for me to say I'm punching down. And don't you think? To like declare that you're punching down, that's punching down.
Hey, I'm not sure what that means.
You're the guy who ordered the shovel on Amazon overnight. You're the guy who's digging the hole.
Okay. I've never heard that expression.
I just invented it now.
Okay.
Using creativity and cleverness.
Yeah.
That I've built up over the years.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Yeah. It's fine. You can say, if you say vagina, that's fine. I'm not trying to. She was a cool person. I liked her. I thought she was cool. I just thought it was a fun. It was just, you're allowed to laugh at people in a fun way.
You gotta laugh
in a fun way
when people say words in a funny way.
It was charming. It was charming.
You gotta laugh. You gotta
like
laugh.
when Patrick pronounces his eyes as E's. He does when you say like include or
penguin.
Penguin,
like penguin.
Lame. All right.
Lame.
Okay.
Cool.
I think we're good to go on this business. Once we get to the laughing at Bergeron stage, I think we're pretty much done.
This podcast's over.
So what's going to happen?
Pepper.
People like to have some structure in their lives.
Pepper.
They like to know what the hell's going on.
No, they don't.
We can't help you out with too much of that. But you know what we also
can't help you out with?
Okay.
A bottle of Canard.
Canard. Notice I didn't put the last part in because it makes me feel bad.
Because he wanted an Orion slave girl.
Yeah, it made me feel bad.
He would. He presumably was requesting
it's the exploitative.
Aid of a sex worker.
You know what was insensitive too when Sisko was all
a crazy man.
It's not nice to say. Shouldn't call someone a crazy person.
It's not nice, but you know, every now and then.
It was the 90s.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing.
Toss around a pejorative here and there. You know, it's
a bottle of Canard.
Is it funny?
A bottle of canard. All right.
Anyway, what I was saying was, is what we can tell you is that we'll be back again next week with another conversation.
It's got Star Trek back again.
Nobody said Cardi Spoonheads.
No. I actually
until just now.
Yeah. I was actually looking
O'Brien surely did not.
He didn't say actually
he thought though.
I couldn't find an episode where O'Brien doesn't say Spoonhead. There's some other guy who says Spoonhead actually.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
But I think Brian says something terrible.
All right. Well, we'll look it
He's
up.
He's got a bit of a bias.
We'll do some research on
I could be wrong.
Brian situation. But next week we will be discussing another episode of Star Trek.
Okay, let's do it.
Which episode might that be, Patrick? You might be asking yourself. Well, I'll tell you. We don't know. Not at this stage, because we are going to take this podcast once it's done being edited, and we're going to run it through
Dan's
proprietary secretive algorithm.
Better.
And then it's going to spit out a list of episodes. We are going to select from that list. We will post that on our website, www.itsgotstartrek.com. We are going to post that on our social media, at It's Got Star Trek, just about everywhere.
So year after blood-soaked year.
Twitter, YouTube, etc. All right. And you can also find us on Apple Podcasts. And if you haven't subscribed yet.
Why do we still talk about Apple Podcasts? Does anyone care about that anymore?
I'm just, you know, if you're listening to this because it's.
Why don't we talk about.
Maybe there's an underground.
Blockbuster video.
MP3 business. Why don't people send around MP3s?
Why don't we talk about.
Sort of on the down low. And people are like, I don't know where to subscribe to this. And MySpace. Apple Podcasts is one of the places that they
can download their audio on MP3. Show the whole world how. Never mind.
All right.
He's got Star Trek at MySpace.
You don't talk about YouTube Music.
No, but we're on YouTube, and YouTube has podcasts.
But you didn't say YouTube Music.
No, but we're not on YouTube Music.
We might be.
I don't think so.
They probably do podcasts, don't they?
I think podcasts are just on like YouTube added like a flat. Anyway, it's don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Don't even.
One thing I did want to mention because we were neglectful. We didn't mention this before, but Dan, you were a guest on the Trek Time annual charity Star Trek stream.
Oh man, that was weeks ago.
A couple weeks ago now.
It was awesome. It was kind of crazy. It felt like all professional.
I know. It was great. I was like,
oh my gosh, this is how it's supposed to be
done.
That's
a good job.
But if you want to check that out, you should go check out, first of all, check out Trek Time just generally. But one place among many that you can find Trek Time is on YouTube at Trek Time is the YouTube handle there. And if you scroll down a bit, you know, they put out tons of awesome videos, but if you scroll down a bit, you'll see there's a podcasting roundtable during their charity stream. And that's where Dan participated with some other podcast hosts and had an awesome conversation about podcasting and get a little background about why we got into this and all that.
They were all totally awesome. And it was like a real honor to be there. I had a great time.
Yeah. So definitely go check that out and check out all their other stuff. We appreciate the invite, and we hope to join them again sometime on one of their future streams. So definitely check that out.
But Bilana's on it.
In the meantime, we are going to close things down this week. Check our social media or website for the episode we're going to discuss next week. And of course, once Strange New Worlds comes back, we'll be covering that week to week, all the new episodes there. But so that's something to look forward to. But without further ado, I wish you a fond farewell.
What? What are you talking about?
I'm trying to end the podcast.
I'll be back within the hour.
All right. Yes, all right. Bye-bye.
Are you going to put that in my soup?